one body bag or two?
Hello, everyone. It is us again. Tea time horror stories, or tea time horror, however you want, whatever catches your fancy. We have been gone for a really long time. And other than the explanation of life, I can't really give any other excuses. I mean, I want to apologize to any of our returning listeners and just, you know, try and get back and devoted to this. I'm going to also apologize ahead of time. We're going to try and make this, you know, continue again. We want to have an episode come out every week like we did before. And it's going to be coming out on Fridays, as always. If there's going to be any interruptions, we will let you guys know. So without further ado, let's say hello. So this is basically going to be Tea Time Horrors 2.0. Unfortunately, we do not have Yelly with us right now. Whether she'll be continuing with us or maybe coming in every so often, that depends on her. We're still friends. That's never going to change. She's my best friend and will always be my best friend. But she moved and she doesn't exactly live close to us anymore. And Joseph and ourself, we haven't technically moved, but we have moved buildings, I guess.
Changed places is more.
Yeah. So
the correct term.
I guess one reason we can say why we have been a little MIA is because work has been very demanding. Just been working my butt off and really just focusing on that in my career. Joseph and I had started building a house together and it is finally done. In fact, that's actually where we are recording right now. So if you hear a bit of an echo, it's because this place is still very empty.
It's because the acoustics in here are amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty empty in here still. We literally only have 3 bookshelves as our only furniture. And
well, 3 bookshelves in the cube shelf.
Well, it's in the same room as us right now. Technically, it's just the bookshelves and all of our shit that's all over the floor.
Is it really a different room when it's all one room?
Let's not give details of how our place is situated, but yeah, basically, you know, stuff happened. Work happened. We've been working our butts off. Life happened. Yelly moved, unfortunately, and she lives really far away, and we have different days off now. So it's just, like I said, stuff happened. And maybe every so often she'll pop up on something, and we'll have her here. We'll have other new people that you can listen to. My dad will be coming back. Just stay tuned for everything that we have to offer. And I want to thank you all for returning, or for any new listeners out there. Thank you guys for everything. And we just want to make this great.
Sorry, that noise is our cat.
Yes. So we do have a cat door and our cats are starting to get used to this new place as well. So we have one cat in particular. You'll probably hear her a lot because she really likes this place. Her name is Hermione, or Mimi for short. Yes, we are Harry Potter fans. And that's what she's named after. So if you hear that bell, that's our Mimi girl. There she is. Yeah. Gosh, it's just been so long since we've done this.
Yeah, it's been...
So, yeah, for today's episode, you just have me and Joe.
Still drinking tea.
Still drinking tea. In fact, I am actually still a devoted taste tea drinker. My drink of choice right now is the matcha Thai green tea, as always. Again, I'm not one to jump off from what I know and what I like. So, Joe, what are you drinking?
Well, due to certain stomach complications, my tea of choice has been turmeric and ginger with a little bit of honey.
Yeah,
it's with the stomach.
It's pretty bitter. It's gross. I don't like it.
It's not that bitter. It was because I put too much ginger in it that time.
It's still gross. I don't like it.
It's not that gross.
If it's not sweet or covered in sugar, I probably don't like it.
It's
the usual Sam. Nothing,
it's not that gross.
Nothing has changed when it comes to Sam and her taste of teas. So we're going to get started. We're going to just jump right back into this. And again, this is going to be Tea Time Horrors 2.0. We have kind of condensed things a little bit and changed things up a bit. We are changing it up so that...
Ow, she's kneading. Ow.
Yeah, sorry. That's going to be Mimi. So yeah, we've changed things up a little bit and you're going to notice a change in stuff. Please give us your opinion and what you think about the changes. But let's get started, shall we, Joe?
Yeah, let's get started on this very special episode of us coming back.
Right. It is.
And thank you again for being patient and waiting for the newest episode.
Yeah, it only took us, you know, like a year. So we are going to start off with a murder. Not just a murder, but actually what would be considered a familicide or familicide.
Family aside.
There you go. So,
not to set your family aside.
Oh God. And it starts. I hope you guys, I don't know if you guys missed this or not, but you're gonna, we're going there again.
Somebody out there has to listen to us for background noise or something.
Right. We're just there. That's all we are. We're just there. So
we're like ghosts.
The definition.
We're there, but we never show.
Just love us, please.
Again.
Please. The definition of a familicide is basically when a family is completely annihilated. This can usually result in the person who, and a familicide is usually someone in the family, like a husband or a wife, or even a children that kill the entire family, and sometimes they end up killing themselves at the same time.
It's funny, I'm sitting over here nodding and they have no idea.
Yeah, I mean,
say yes.
I know, they have no idea that you're nodding over there.
Yes.
But so there's, I mean, not really that. I'm like pulling out my trusty Google, as always. That hasn't changed at all either. So a familicide is a type of murder or murder-suicide in which a perpetrator kills multiple close family members in quick successions, most often children, relatives, spouses, siblings, or parents. In half the cases, the killer lastly kills themselves in a murder-suicide. So it's not always a murder-suicide, but it can be.
One example of it would be the Amityville.
Yeah, like that's also something I will be covering eventually. I think me and Joe might do a duo on that with the paranormal aspect. He'll cover that.
Ja.
And of course, I'll cover anything that has to do with death or true crime.
My finger.
So, we're going to start off with a bang with a familicide. And this one is actually a pretty recent one, if anyone really, you know, pays attention to the news or whichever, which has been pretty crazy nowadays. I mean, hey.
Yeah, and yeah, since this whole COVID thing, it's kind of difficult to not brush up on new things, too.
Or, you know, start up old things again.
Start up old things, pick up new things.
Yep.
New topics.
So, again, we're starting off with a familicide, and we are going to cover, I'm going to cover, the Waltz family murder. This is actually fairly recent. When I mean fairly recent, this happened less than 5 years. In fact, this happened in 2018. So, let's get started.
Let's.
So, the Waltz family murders occurred on the early morning of August 13th, 2018, in Frederick, Colorado, USA.
So, it's not even 2 years old yet.
No. In fact, they just, you'll learn in a little bit that they literally just sentenced, you know, the perpetrator. Yeah,
like recently.
Yeah, it was all over the news because his anniversary popped up just a couple months ago, actually. Or a couple weeks ago. So while being interviewed by police, Christopher Lee Waltz, I will probably be referring to him as Chris for the rest of the thing. So Christopher Lee Waltz admitted to killing his pregnant wife, Shannon admitted to killing his pregnant wife by strangulation and their daughter, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Cece.
I thought they were older.
No, these were babies. Like, I have a picture.
Oh, I knew one of them was like five, but I didn't know the other one was just like out of toddler.
If you can see from that far. Wow. Yeah, they're babies. Like, they didn't know any better or anything at all what was going on. It gets pretty sad. So just hold on, buddies. So, both died by asphyxiation due to smothering, and here is their stories. So, as always, I like to give you guys a little bit of background. So, here's their background. Christopher Lee Waltz, now 34, and Cheyenne Kathleen Waltz. I'm sorry if I butcher names, you know, that's just me. I'm really bad at them.
Remembering them and pronouncing them.
Yes, just words in general. I swear I know English. So she was 34 and was a native of Spring Lake, North Carolina. And they met in 2010 on Facebook after Cheyenne was diagnosed with a health condition that her brother identified as lupus. For those of you who don't know what lupus is, actually lupus is an inflammatory disease caused when the immune system attacks its own tissues, causing joint pain, fatigue, butterfly rashes to appear on the skin. There's no cure, and when a flare-up appears, it takes someone days for them to get over it to weeks. Gee, Joe, this kind of sounds like what you have.
Yeah, but the only thing that I'm missing is the butterfly rashes.
Yeah. So it's basically an autoimmune. So her brother identified it as lupus. It was probably something a little bit more complicated than that or something more, but we're just going to leave it at that. They were married in Muhlenberg County on November 3rd, 2012. They knew they wanted a family right away. In just a little over a year, they had their first daughter, Bella Marie Waltz, born December 17th, 2013.
Yeah, that's harsh.
That's my birthday for anyone who cares to know. So I share a birthday with their eldest daughter, Bella. Next was their second daughter, Celeste Kathleen or Cece Waltz. I will refer to her as Cece. It's 1,000 times easier to say. She was born July 17th, another 17th, 2015. Their family pretended to live a very well-off life in a large 5-bedroom home in Fredericks, Colorado, that they had purchased together in 2013. By the time their second daughter was born, they had declared bankruptcy in 2015. It is unclear as to why they filed for bankruptcy, but it was one reason that caused strain in their relationship was finances, like 1,000 other people. I mean, mostly when people do deal with finances. I mean, I deal with the finances mostly on our end.
Yeah.
But it can be stressful.
But I thought they were well off.
See, that's the thing. They played off as if they were well off. They really did. They were one of those people that I'm actually going to get right into that, actually. So jump in when you be like, oh. So,
oh.
Yeah, they had a huge amount of debt and a huge spending problem.
Sorry. You just said any time, so.
Yeah.
I'm being a smartass again.
I can tell. So they had a huge spending problem from credit card debts from Macy's and Nordstrom. And we all know how expensive Nordstrom is. They were wanting to live the high life like everyone else here in America, always wanting to spend on things that are expensive, but not really being able to afford it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, unless you're like a millionaire, good luck shopping at these places. But anyways, they wanted to live the high life, but they couldn't afford it. They continued to spend and had problems paying their debts. Shannon worked at Children's Hospital Colorado, earning a monthly salary of $2,977. But for reasons not made clear in the filing, the couple reported combined income was had gone down significantly. So in 2013, they had made it like over 100K. And then the next year, in 2014, they were down by 90. So it was like a huge jump down. And then the next year, in 2015, not only did it jump down from $90,000 down to $40,000.
Wow.
Yeah. My guess, with their growing family, Cheyenne was no longer able to work. And it was also reported that her sickness got worse. So I'm guessing she was no longer working at the hospital. Let's see. Chris was reported to earning a monthly salary of $5,400 a month with growing medical bills and a credit card debt and their combined mortgage payment of their $400,000 house.
Jeez. You're going to be paying that off for your entire life.
No, it's a $400,000 house that was a 5-bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. That's a... pretty good.
That's cheap. As most of you all know, whoever listens to us or who's returning and listen to us, you all know that we live in California, and no matter what part of California you live in, you're gonna pay $1 million for just a 1-bedroom house.
Like, basically,
it is retardedly stupid to live here,
and it gets even worse the closer to the bay you get.
Right. And we're really pinpointing where we live, but we live in the bay, and that's all we're going to say is that we live in the bay. So by 2015, they basically had dropped almost 100K worth of money that they were making.
Damn.
That's nuts. With their house costing them $400,000, I wish I could make that, though. I wish we could buy a house like that here in California for $400,000.
But that's the thing, too. Isn't that where do they live at again?
Colorado.
Yeah, so the housing up there is a lot.
Oh, yeah. In Colorado, Georgia, and places like that. Dude, you can go and buy a house, like a mansion in Texas. That's where everyone is going, is Texas.
Yeah, but Texas is going up pretty high in price, too.
Kind of, depending on where you go. But, so yeah. When their bankruptcy was accepted and their second child born, Cheyenne took up a job as a as a salesperson for a health supplement company called Level, selling a weight loss life supplement style thingy. It was also known as Thrive. I don't know. I looked into it and it kind of just says life supplements. It's supposed to help you feel better.
Thrive. Wasn't that through Kaiser? Didn't they have no. Like that?
Kaiser's thing is Thrive now, It's not through Kaiser. It's literally, I looked it up. It's still active to this day. And it's literally, they just sell like weight loss supplements, life supplements, and just supplements is what they do. So,
but that's what the wife did.
Yeah, she ended up becoming a marketing salesman. Basically, she's a saleswoman, is what she became.
Avon.
Kind of.
But for medicine.
Yeah, actually, that's
interesting.
Basically, what it is, it's Avon, but with supplements. This move gave her independence to work from home or anywhere she wanted while caring for and traveling with her kids. This made her very active on social media, and I mean incredibly active. I thought I was active. Well, actually, I'm not that active. But compared to some people who like live off of it, she was living off of it. Like she would let people know, I'm walking to the store now. Like she was one of those people.
And then taking pictures of the produce that she has in her basket and then walking out.
Exactly.
Leaving the store, going back home.
Actually, that's not far from the truth. This made her very active on social media, where she marketed her product all the time with live streams, posting on Facebook and Instagram. Those were her two main ones. She posted all the time. Like, just woke up, gonna have my morning coffee, or just doing this, taking Cece and Bella to school or to this. Like, everywhere she was going, she literally posted it.
I don't know why that kind of reminds me of the movie The Truman Show.
The Truman Show?
It was
Jim Carrey, when he didn't.
Filming him the entire, they didn't know they were filming him.
Yep.
And they would run ads while.
So weird.
Yeah. And they're like, I guess they're advertising some type of chocolate milk. And he looked at her. He's like, who are you talking to? It's just us two in here.
Yeah. I remember, I think you showed me that movie because I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
But
it's an interesting movie.
Yeah, it is. So let's see. So again, yeah, she posted all the time, several times a day, with her every steps for the whole world to see, besides the truth. So she played off this really like facade, I guess you can say. She was really good at letting the world see what she wanted them to see, but never what was actually happening behind closed doors.
Why she tried to keep things?
Doesn't everyone? Yeah. I mean, who wants their dirty laundry out for everyone to see?
Yeah.
I mean, most of us easily portray like this happiness face all the time, and then are they really going to let everyone think or see that they're like depressed unhappy, or something unhappy fighting is happening? So Shannon truly loved working for Thrive. They paid for her and her family to travel. Everything paid for. When I mean paid for, it was just like, here's a plane ticket. You need all your kids to go with you. Here's your plane ticket. So she had traveled to New Orleans, Toronto, and the Dominican Republic. She even posted that her vacation with Chris had, in quotation, this is our sixth paid vacation in 2 years from the direct selling company Level. So she would brag about it all the time on social media and be like, me and Chris are so happy. This is a dream come true. So she was always posting things and people were just like, wow, so envious of them. Mm-hmm. And then the dark truth comes out.
Dark.
Very dark. So on the outside, they looked like the perfect family by most accounts. They fought from time to time like most couples do, but it was more serious than what most thought. It was straining the relationship, and this was one of the main reasons supposedly for the events to come. But what could give more stress? Want to give me a guess? What can usually stress out a relationship more? If it's not finance, what else can bring more stress and more?
Children.
Yeah, there you go. Ding, ding. Point for Joe on that. So, yes.
It's kind of hard to win points against nobody right now.
God damn it, Joe. Anyways, so yes, children, or aka a baby. The news of another baby. At the time of her death, she was 15 weeks pregnant. Mm-hmm. They had planned to name him, yes, it was a boy, Nico Lee Waltz. Her due date was January 31st, 2019.
January 31st?
Yeah, January 31st.
Damn.
Yeah, not that long ago, really.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago or so, just a little over that. So let's get to the bread and butter of all this, right? This is what everyone's here for. So before Shannon disappeared, she had announced she was pregnant with their third child on June 11th. She had recorded a video with her surprising her husband with the news that she's pregnant for the third time, wearing a shirt that said, oops, we did it again. Chris seemed genuinely excited. You can actually still see these videos online. I've viewed them all. And it shows how clearly excited he was, stating, "That's awesome," before kissing her and hugging her tightly. On June 14th, Shannon recorded a video of her four-year-old Bella singing a song about how much she loved her dad. Bella sings in this video. Again, this is all available online, and it's kind of heart-wrenching, actually, to see her sing this to her father. I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to sing it. But it basically goes, "My daddy is my hero. He helps me grow up strong. He helps me snuggle. He helps me snuggle, too. He reads me books. He ties my shoes. You're my hero through and through. Daddy, daddy, I love you." I will put the audio clip for everyone to hear on here. So if you
can, we do that?
Yes, you can. It's public.
That's true, I guess.
Yep. So if you don't want to hear this, you know, cute little five-year-old singing to her dad and how much she loves him, just skip ahead. Like now. Also on June, so yeah, I'm going to actually go down just a list of things until the events happen. So I'm going to just go down by dates. On June 14th, just so you guys all know, this is happening in 2018. So I'm not going to keep saying the year over and over again, but this is 2018. So also on June 14th, Chris goes to work. This is where he starts to talk to a coworker, a female coworker by the name of Nicole Kessinger. It's K-E-S-S-I-N-G-E-R, Kessinger. So before he goes and talks to her, and I'm going to refer to Nicole as Nikki from now on because she does go by that. She reported saying that he didn't have his wedding ring on, and he said he had taken it off. Without his wedding ring on, Nikki later reported this. He sweet talks her. He starts flirting with her. And in the end, she ends up giving her contact information in his phone. So she gives him his phone number. She would later become his mistress and will be referred to as Nikki. She said she started dating Chris seriously at the end of June.
Wow.
Trouble in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
On June 17th, Nikki tells police that sometime before Father's Day, Chris tells her he is married and he has kids, but in the process of separating. Also on Father's Day, Shannon writes a tribute on him. A tribute for him on Facebook. She's completely unaware of Chris's second life and he wants to be away from his family. Shannon says in her post, and again, this is public because I think her Facebook is still active even though she's dead. She posts on Facebook, "Chris, we are so incredibly blessed to have you. You do so much every day for us and take such great care of us. You are the reason I was brave enough to agree to number 3. Chris always said he never wanted or planned for a third child. Other reports say otherwise, that apparently it was very much planned." So on June 19th, Shannon shares a picture from her first ultrasound and writes that her husband is the best dad and gives a best dad a girl could ever ask for. On June 27th, Shannon tells Bella and Cece, or takes Bella and Cece to North Carolina for a 5-week vacation while her husband stays home and works, supposedly. You know, that's the excuse nowadays. "I'm going to stay home and work while you go on a 5-week vacation with our daughters."
Well, yeah, of course.
Because, you know, here he continues a 5-week affair with Nikki, lying to everyone and living the life he secretly wants. On July 14th, Nikki told police he had sucked her into his twisted life. Nikki told police she went to Chris's house for the first time on the 4th of July to set up his diet and weight loss exercise goals. He invited her to his house, he cooked lunch, and they ate, and they left, according to the police document. Chris reported differently, saying Nikki downplayed their spicy affair. Chris had hardly been home at all. They actually had a dog, and he would come home for maybe 10 minutes out of the day, or sometimes he even have his neighbor go and feed the dog.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was just wifey's not here, so I'm gonna go play with my second wifey.
Yeah, he's like, fuck that life I used to have.
Apparently so. So he spent most nights at her house. When he wasn't with her, she was always sending him lewd pictures and lewd texts. You can actually see these pictures, might I add, in her, in very, her bikini and underwear and stuff like that, sent to him. It's actually public. I don't know why, but it's public for people to see. He told investigators he had several missed calls from his wife. He knew he needed to go home in case his wife would call the house or find them not there. So they did have a house phone, apparently, And every single time she would call the house phone, she would think, oh, maybe he's just working late. So she would always call his cell phone first. He grew upset realizing that she would always be the other person and that he would put his wife first. She kicked him out of the house. They didn't see each other for the rest of the day until Nikki insisted and bothered him to come over that night and did. Greatly, you know, very gladly he came over. So that fight wasn't very long lasted. And I guess her being the second lady didn't bother her that much.
Apparently.
So, yeah, for that time, it got pretty spicy and pretty heavy. The 7th of July, Chris and Nikki spent a weekend together where he ignores a lot of his wife's calls. His wife also starts to notice mysterious charges on their credit card that they're desperately trying to pay off. He continues to start acting more strange, if he wasn't already. On the 10th of July, the first signs of tension start to show with Shannon and Chris through text messages. Some of the texts go, and this is actually a series of text messages, so it's going to go, Shannon, you okay? It's like you don't want to talk. I keep trying to talk, and I have to dig it out of you. Chris, I'm fine, baby. The last few days at work have put a lot of responsibility on me with new people. I don't mean to seem short, boo. I love you to the moon and back. Heart and smile emoji. Ew.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, just saying those words like made it cringy to me.
When you have to speak an emoji, ugh.
Not just that, but he's like, boo, I love you, baby. Like, so, like...
It's like, people actually talk like that? Oh, yeah, they do.
They do. Bae.
Oh, my God, don't.
So, and then Shannon replies back, I miss you, and I feel like you just want to work out and work out, go to work, and run. And Chris goes, running clears my mind. It's a way to free it all. Guess that's what you call an affair? Running and fucking another person because he did that a lot.
That's kind of like the definition of an affair.
Well, thankfully, Shannon's not stupid because she did not buy this excuse at all. She's like, I wish my husband would want to talk to me, was her reply. And he never replied back after that. He was like, done. I put you on scene and that was it. Not going to reply. This is where things really start to go downhill. Phone calls were extra short. He stopped saying, I love you, and never made time to talk with Shannon or the kids. Things were falling apart, and Shannon knew it. On the 14th of July, Chris and Nikki go on a date to a car museum. That afternoon, Shannon makes 4 unanswered calls to her husband, and she starts to get really worried. On the 18th of July, Nikki continues sending semi-nude photos of herself, which he stores in his phone on a secret calculator app, which is available to download. It's disguised and it says calculator. You can use it as a calculator, but if you type in a certain code, backup files will come up, and that's where you can hide shit. I don't know if I just helped some bros or some chicks out right now of like, I'm going to hide these nudes or that people send to me.
Or that you're going to make everybody super paranoid. They're like, what's this calculator?
What is this calculator? Why do you have a calculator app on your phone? Why, Joe? Why do you have a calculator app on your phone?
Because it's a default on the phone.
Oh my God. Chris claimed that the real reason he kept going back to Nikki was because the feeling of her pursuing him and being wanted felt great. Than the other way around. Nikki says he was after, but Nikki states that he was always after her. Who will ever admit to who was the, you know, the starter of an affair?
Apparently, it's always the other person's fault.
Always. So on the 28th of July, Chris and Nikki spend more time together, taking countless photos together. They visit the Great Sand Dunes National Park and spend the night at the nearby campgrounds. On the 30th of July, Chris gives Nikki a love letter before leaving town to join his family on their summer vacation. Here, he proclaims his love for her, wanting to be with her and no one else. The letter contains lyrics to the song Down to Earth by the band Through the Roots. Insert eye rolling here. Like, I read it. I've seen it. If you like those super romance stuff, maybe you might go, oh, but then you think he's cheating. He's having an affair. His wife is 15 weeks pregnant and he has 2 girls. And he's claiming to this chick that we're separated. We're not together. We're not even trying to be together. And he even makes a claim that the child is not his. On the 31st of July, Chris flies to North Carolina for the final week of his family's vacation. Chris and Shannon's reunion isn't a happy one, according to several texts that are exchanged and later forwarded to close friends and colleagues by the name of Nikolai Yuftov Atkins. And because it's another female, I'm not going to call her Nikki too. I might, but I'm probably going to refer to her as Atkins because, you know, it's easier.
He's trying that new Atkins diet.
Oh, God. Shannon claims her relationship with Chris's family is also strained. The entire time she was out visiting the families, she was doing this all by herself. And it was already reported that her relationship with Chris's family was a bad one. Like, Chris's family did not want them together, period, since the beginning.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're going to learn more things about why their relationship is very strained. So Shannon claims her relationship with Chris's family is strained, and she is uncomfortable and unhappy around his family. She deems Chris's mother to be unsafe.
Unsafe or unstable?
Unsafe.
Like, she was violent with her?
You're going to find out. So this causes even more strain because Chris is really, really close to his parents.
So it's not just the money issues and then the children issues, but it's also the in-laws.
Exactly. So this relationship just seemed bad to begin with. Like, it just was no bueno. On another more dates. So again, this is all happening in 2018. So we're going to go on. We just ended on the 31st of July. Now we're going to go on to August 4th, just past midnight. Shannon sends a long, and I mean long, I'm not even going to put it in here. You guys can look it up because long
email, text,
a long text message. Like, we're talking like essay status. I actually thought about reading it off, but it's so fargan long. I'll let you guys just look it up. I'll just summarize it, all right? So this long text message is accusing Chris of failing to stand up for her after her parents exposed their daughter Cece to nuts. She is deathly allergic to nuts.
Oh.
Again, I won't say the whole text, but in short, she calls Chris's family evil. She feels that she's the only one protecting them from the evil of the world. She claims Chris's mom tried to kill Cece, claiming to have forgotten that Cece was allergic and tried feeding her several times. Not just once, several times.
How do you forget that your grandchild is allergic, deathly allergic to something?
Right? If someone is deathly allergic, I will not forget if you tell me one time. So several times she tried feeding herself that had nuts or was like cooked with peanut oil.
And is this like over a span of time?
Yeah, during the time she was there for the vacation and stuff like that. So his father would stand up for his wife and called Shannon crazy and overprotective of their granddaughter. She also goes on to state that Chris was absent and didn't care for the family anymore. And if he wanted to be alone, he could. So, again, it got really, really spicy. She was like, you're my husband. Your family's trying to kill your babies. Where the fuck are you? Why aren't you siding with me? And he's just like, take a chill pill. Like, she wrote this long essay to him of things that are happening. And he wrote, basically, I think you're overreacting.
Yeah.
One, you don't ever say that to a female, period.
Yeah, I know.
Don't ever be like, babe, you're just overreacting. It was on this day that Chris reportedly said that he was scared of losing his family. He told investigators that he should have planned on ending his relationship with Nikki that night so he could fix things between them and focus on his family and his issues he called Nutgate.
Nutcake?
Nutgate.
Okay.
Get
explain.
It?
Explain.
Stonegate.
Oh. Stuff.
Yeah. He basically, like, he kept referring back to the situation with his parents trying to kill his 3-year-old daughter Cece with nuts, Nutgate. And that also deeply upsetted Shannon, like, times a thousand. It would upset me, for sure. But wait, there's more. Could there possibly be more? Of course there is. Also, on the exact same day, August 4th, Shannon appears to have yet another fight with her in-laws, which caused them to skip Cece's birthday party the in-laws had thrown or had planned for her. She also goes on to tell her husband that he hasn't shown any signs of missing her or her family the whole time they were apart, 4 weeks. Shannon grows more upset with the replies or lack of replies from Chris with her mile-long text messages. His text messages consist of, okay, I'll work on it. Or he doesn't reply at all. Instead, he would wait 24 hours before replying with, he loves his kids, and if he could see his parents because they had planned the party for Cece. Even though they had planned the party, she said, I'm not letting them go. He's all like, well, I think you're just being too harsh. Come on. They're my parents. They want to see their grandkids.
I'm pretty sure that cake had peanut butter in it.
Or like it was made with, instead of vegetable oil, like peanut oil or something in it. He blamed it all on her. Said she was being just too dramatic. She refused, saying that she's standing her ground. Chris never once said, I love you to her, I miss her. He would always just refer back to the kids. He would say, I miss the kids or I love the kids. The boat really starts to sink here. This is where things are just, everyone's jumping overboard. Let's just put it that way. Chris later states he believes he may have killed his wife and kids due to pent-up anger he harbored toward Shannon. for what he described as a driving wedge between him and his family. Feelings he said dated back to the beginning of their relationship, as his family never approved of them being together and blamed all the issues on her. Their son was perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's why he...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Chris is perfect. That's going to be my title. Chris is perfect.
Oh my God.
So, when you thought it was over, think again. Again, on August 4th, such a busy day for everyone, Chris is away. He's spending time with his mistress instead of his wife, who's struggling and fighting. The very same day, reports show that Nikki is feverishly searching the internet for something. Do you want to take a guess of what that something is?
His wife's Facebook page?
Well, oh, she knows it. She actually is friends with her on Facebook, oh my God. I add, and has pointed out to Chris on several occasions... why he's in some of the pictures and stuff like that when they're supposedly separating. Yeah.
That's
awesome. A whole nother can of worms.
Is she looking for, like, fighting between him and the wife?
No. You're overthinking this. I'm in love with him.
Is she looking for other people that he may be talking to?
Wedding dresses.
Oh my God.
She is... Her cell phone data shows that she's actively searching and planning for a wedding. August 4th would never end. It finally does. And we go to August 7th. Shannon starts to confide in her friends. So she's finally opening up to some people and they're finally seeing that there's trouble in paradise. So she openly starts to show concern and changes in her husband. This is when people start to see their perfect life is not so perfect. She shares with people that Chris and her are always fighting. During one of their fights, he claims he is scared to death about the third baby, and he's happy with just Bella and Cece and doesn't want the other baby. They try and calm her, and it doesn't really work very well. So they just think, like Chris's family, her reasons are invalid.
Wow, so not even her friends really believe.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. Like, she has, like, one or two that are just like, that's messed up, but... A lot of people are just like, I think it's just your hormones because you're pregnant.
Oh no.
So she also reports that they have little to no physical contact and she tries all she can to be away. And he tries all he can to be away from the family. So their sex life is dying. If that's not another strain in a relationship, I don't know what is. August 9th was their ultrasound appointment. He refused to hold her hand throughout the whole entire appointment. All my moms out there, how would you have felt if your man who's sitting right next to you is just meh with you getting an ultrasound of your love child? Throughout the report appointment, he refused to hold her hand. No words were said. And if it was up to him, he wouldn't have gone at all. Because of this, she canceled the gender reveal party. It is here she starts to think that there's another woman in his life. Once canceling all party plans, she takes a sudden last minute event to fly out to Arizona with her friend. She says while she is leaving, Chris finally says he will miss her, and this is the Chris that she remembers. She's kind of hoping for change. So right before she leaves to this last minute trip to Arizona, he's two-faced, in my opinion.
Says, hey baby, where are you going?
Basically, he's like, oh, you're leaving, how long? I love you. Because of this kind of gives her a glimmer of hope. She kind of thinks, oh, maybe something's gonna come out of this. So that night she was feeling hopeful on her flight, she writes a handwritten letter she plans on giving to her husband once arriving. She texts a letter to her friend. She's hopeful for recovery and to be a big, happy family again. The letter is actually public for people to see. And again, it's actually like 3-4 pages long.
Damn.
Not going to read it to you guys. You guys can look that up if you want to. But basically,
or you can forward a link to them.
Yeah, you know, maybe I'll put it in the descriptions, but that's a lot of stuff to put in the descriptions if I do.
Yeah.
Just look it up. She is very hopeful, thinking that, you know, things are going to really change. So during her time, Shannon is in Arizona. Chris is supposed to be home watching the kids. You really think he is?
Nope.
Okay. So instead, on August 11th, he hires a babysitter, saying he's going to Colorado Rocky Games with his coworkers. In reality,
did he get the neighbor to go by and feed them and make sure that they're doing okay?
Changing the dog pad.
Yeah.
They pooped on it. So in reality, he takes Nikki on a date to a sports bar in Erie, Colorado. On August 12th, Shannon sends a friend a draft of her speech she plans to give her husband when she returns to Colorado the very next day. She claims that she is not in the right headspace and feels they both need to work on each other, but they can do it together for the sake of their unborn son and their daughters. This would be the last text message that anyone hears from her. She plans on, like, giving him a second chance. She plans on being like, hey, we need to work this out together, maybe marriage counseling. Again, it's another letter that's, like, 2 pages long. It's basically, it's very, very hopeful. But it does mention that she is depressed. It does mention that she knows that they're kind of pulling apart from each other, but she knows that they can work it. Yeah, unfortunately, that would be the last that people hear from her. August 13th, 2018, at 1:48 a.m., a neighbor's surveillance camera captures Shannon returning home from her business trip, having received a ride from her friend and colleague, Nikki Atkins. Chris was home with the children, sleeping when she came home. Chris said that she initiated sex. If it was the first time in weeks, they had gone to bed together afterwards. Later that evening, Shannon and the two kids were reported missing. The two kids were reported missing by Atkins, her friend who dropped her off.
Yeah.
She had grown concerned when Shannon had missed her scheduled OBGYN appointment and failed to return text messages. She's very prompt. This is someone who's, like, married to her phone, married to social media.
Yeah.
So she had also missed an important business meeting. Atkins went to Walt's home at approximately 12:10 p.m., so afternoon. When the doorbell, she rang the doorbell, knocked, and knocks went completely unanswered. Atkins called Chris, and then she called the police department. An officer arrived to conduct a welfare check about 1:40 p.m. Chris arrived after having to leave work to do so. He talked with the officer and discussed ways to locate his missing family. During the welfare check, which he let them in willingly to check the house, he gave the police officers permission to search the house, but none of the family was found. They searched the house, but they did find Shannon's purse. Inside was her phone, her wedding ring, and her keys. Her car was still in the garage, and inside were the children's car seats as well. The FBI and Colorado Bureau of Investigation joined the investigation the next day on August 14th. Chris gave interviews to the Denver station KMGH-TV and KUSA-TV outside his house, pleading for his family's safe return. Investigators with cadaver and search dogs could be heard on the heard and seen on the property during the interview. I'm going to now get into a little bit more details. So are you ready for those dirty, dirty details, Joe? Because I love details.
I like details, too.
All right. So Chris Waltz was arrested for murder of his wife, Shannon Waltz, their two daughters, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Cece, on August 15th, 2018. Chris failed a polygraph test horribly. And when I mean horribly, it was just like...
Did you even try to lie?
Yeah. Like, but which was funny because he tried to be so stoic on the outside. Like, I'm not lying at all. But when they would ask him a question, it was just...
You would clam up.
No, he would answer the question, like, did you have anything to do with your wife's disappearance?
No.
But it would go crazy. So it was just like, he tried so hard on the outside, even when he was doing his interviews. But the way he looked in the interviews, again, these interviews are available to see online. I've seen them all. He looks, his body posture just looks defensive.
Arms crossed.
Yeah, his arms are crossed. He's a little hunched over. He kind of looks like he's, like, sunking into himself.
He's got that toddler tantrum type of
It just doesn't, to me, honestly, it doesn't even really look like someone who's really wishing for his wife to be found. It's not very convincing to me, and I'm not even a detective. And once he's confronted about this, he confesses to murdering Shannon. But here's the twist. We all love twists, right? Before confessing, he has to speak with his father. Everything was caught on tape, as most investigations are videoed and or audio taped nowadays. In this video, which I've seen 1,000 times, it is such utter bullshit. Like, it just feels like he's just spewing out bullshit. It is so stupid. He claims Shannon had lost her mind once finding out that he had an affair and wanted to separate from her.
But she didn't know that he was having an affair.
So while he was getting ready for work, she smothered both the girls in their sleep and went into a rage. He went into a rage and he killed her. He also put in a small part of the audio. I'll put in a small part of the audio here. It's going to be just a small clips of him talking to his dad. It's going to sound a little mumbled because he is whispering a lot, but his dad talks loudly enough. So I'll let you guys listen to that. But if you guys want to see the full video, I think it's like 12 or 15 minutes and you can actually find it on YouTube.
Hurt him?
Yeah.
And then I'm telling her. What now? your urn. Did they leave after that for a long time? So she started her begins. Paper.
So he whispers to his father, "She hurt them, and I freaked out, and I hurt her. They were blue." Instead of getting a lawyer, Chris, father insisted he come out and tell the investigators the truth. And he did so, sort of. He spun a web of lies. He admitted to having an affair. The investigation was already aware of this, as Nikki had called them earlier and told them that she was with him and felt he had done something to his family. Chris claimed to have asked for a separation from his wife, and he was currently seeing someone else. And was no longer in love with Shannon, but someone else, and that he was no longer in love with her, and that he didn't want the baby that she was currently 15 weeks pregnant with. Chris then said he left the room to get ready for work. He said he saw Shannon climb back into bed and thought she had fallen back to sleep. He said he had gone downstairs and started to get ready for work, get his lunches and everything like that. He heard some strange noises upstairs, but instead of acting on it, he didn't do anything. So instead, when he had gone back upstairs to just grab whatever he needed, he had witnessed Shannon strangling Cece. In a fit of rage, Chris strangled Shannon and transported their three bodies to a remote oil storage site where he worked. By the way, the neighbor's outside camera caught all this footage too. Chris was loading his work truck and was leaving for work, but for some reason he backed up his truck to the garage, making it difficult to see what he was loading. There was also kind of a tree in the way. This footage is also available online for people to see if you really want to see it. This was unusual to say the least, as he rarely ever backed up his truck to the garage. They just thought it was weird. Authorities were able to locate the bodies at the Waltz, the bodies of the Waltz family on the property of his former employee. It's Andarco Polonium. It's a company that engages in hydrocarbon exploration. No idea what this is. I had spent zero time to figure out what he does for a living. I just know it has to do with oil and oil rigs and stuff like that, I think. So
propane and propane accessories.
Probably. Anyways, on August 16th, Chris had been fired from his job on August 15th, the day of his arrest. The children's body were found hidden in the oil tanks. If you look at these pictures of these oil tanks, the top to get inside is tiny. Like, I think it's like a 2x2.
Oh, wow.
If not smaller. So he had to manipulate the bodies to get them in there. Just,
or at least go up and take them one at a time.
But if you also have to really think, these, I'll get into it. It's just, it's so weird. The children's body were found hidden inside the oil tanks. Both of them had died by asphyxiation due to smothering. Now, again, we got to think about this, okay? These oil tanks are an estimated of 20 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can get to the top and put the bodies in, you have to climb through this very steep ladder. He climbed with the girls individually, because they were found in two different tanks. And then he put them into this hatch that was, the hatch door was barely like a foot by two or something like that. So it was really small to just like shove. It's hard to shove a human body, but a child's body was a little bit easier. He climbed the ladder and then dumped their bodies into the tanks that held crude oil. Shannon's body was buried on the same site in a shallow grave the same day, not that far away. On August 21st, Chris was charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder, including an additional 1 count per child, cited as death of a child who had not yet attended 5 years of age, and the defendant was in the position of trust. So meaning, let's put this in layman's turn, or into, for people to understand. Basically, the kids were smothered.
Mm-hmm.
They were awake and alive and conscious when this happened. So these kids were under the age of 12. Colorado has this law that if you killed the kids, basically not in a fast way, you smothered them, mm-hmm. you basically killed the kids while they trusted you. So the kids were conscious of what you were doing and hoping you would change your mind, is basically what they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a law, and this is something you can be charged with, which I think is fair. Very fair. So he was also charged with unlawful termination of pregnancy and 3 counts of tampering with the deceased human body. Here's a sugar cube. It's been a while since I've done this. When I first wrote this report, I wrote this report in May. I finished writing this report on the 14th of May. Chris Walt's birthday is the 16th of May.
Oh, wow.
I had no idea when I was writing this report that his birthday was literally days from finishing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, the coincidence of what, I don't know what pulled me to wanting to do the Chris Waltz family, you know, family aside. I don't know what it was, but it was basically just like, by the time I finished it and I looked it up, I'm just like, shit, His birthday's 2 days away after I just finished this report. So I just thought, you know, like, he'll be 35 by the time this episode's out, by the way. Anyways, back to the story. He maintained the story that he killed her in a fit of rage. She had killed the kids. This case was everywhere on the media. Like, when this case was active, literally, it was like front page. It was honestly like a Scott Peterson. And if you don't know what Scott Peterson is, I'm going to be covering that episode very soon.
Everybody knew from day fucking one.
God, let's not get into that. There's a... I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah. Another topic for another day.
Exactly. It's going to be a very long day for that one. So this was unusual family. We call this a very unusual family annihilation, as most ends with murder-suicide. But of course, his new girlfriend was the main reason to stick around, and she wanted. But in the end, she wanted nothing to do with him. Like I said before, she had been the one to call the police and report what was going on.
Do you think she ever bought the wedding dress and was like, "Nope, return"?
No, I don't think so. I mean, she claimed that it wasn't that serious, but when they looked at her phone records and saw these searches, they were just like...
It seemed pretty fucking...
It seemed pretty serious. Yeah. If you're online searching for wedding dresses and seeming to be like, oh yeah, I love him. Okay, so somewhere along the way, Chris started to feel guilty, supposedly, if he even can feel it. Nikki wanted nothing to do with him, and he was very close with his daughters. Everyone kept saying that his daughter, Bella, was like his mini-me. He showed them off all the time, and maybe guilt did, you know, finally get to him to actually confess. He did finally confess, saying Shannon had not killed the kids, and he had. So on August 13th, this is what he claims, this is the story. So after finally feeling, I guess, the guilt or whatever it was, he decided he wanted to come free and admit everything. So this is the true account, and this is what he claims had happened. So on August 13th, after having sex, Chris woke up to get ready for work. He also stated that during the time of sex, he felt nothing. It was then he wanted nothing to do with her. This is when he knew he was just like, you know what? There's no point. While getting ready for work, he woke her up. Chris stated that they got into a heated argument. He had told investigators she accused him of cheating and not wanting to be part of the relationship. And this is said where he snapped. He admitted to his affair. He said he was no longer in love with her, did not want the kid or anything at all. And so he admitted to everything. Shannon snapped as well. She started shouting at him. She started telling him that he would never see his daughters again, that he was done, and that he had made the biggest mistake of his life. So Chris also says that this is where everything just goes to a blur. He wraps his hands around. He says he remembers this part, but he always says that he had no control of himself when this happened. He just completely lost it. He said it was like a third person party. He watched himself wrap his hands around her throat and strangle her. What was worse, that there was no defensive wound, so Shannon had believed that he would stop. So he had started strangling her while they were standing. They ended up on the bed, and she had depression marks on her shoulder, so he actually put his knees on her shoulder to hold her down, and his hands wrapped around her throat. Basically, he had straddled her, and he was sitting on her stomach, and she had even said a couple times, stop it, you're hurting the baby. Like, you're putting too much weight on my stomach, stop it. So she really thought he was going to stop. That's also one reason that she didn't have any defensive wounds on her, because usually when you start to be strangled or someone's assaulting you, you'll have defensive wounds, like, or he'll have, like, wounds on him, like, she'll start scratching at him, or she'll have something, you know, like, showing that she put up a fight. But in this case, it really didn't look it at all. So he even said, he's all like, the look in her eyes, she trusted me all the way until the end, which she shouldn't have, is what he says. So after that had happened, Chris later confessed to having smothered the children before arguing with Shannon. So after he had waken up, instead of smothering Shannon first, he had gone and killed the kids first.
Really?
That's what he says. But
I thought it was the wife first and then the kids.
So yeah, he actually takes that back, and he does end up saying that he kills the wife. And the reason why he kills his daughters is because the daughters see, because he knows that the daughters would basically turn him in. Yeah. So he first claimed that he had killed the kids beforehand, but then he said, no, he wanted to try and downplay it, but it didn't work. So Chris was unsure how long he was holding her throat, but the noise of the fight woke up Bella, who came into the bedroom and asked, what's wrong with mommy? He said his daughter watched as he wrapped his wife's lifeless body in a sheet and drug her out of his truck. He also knew his daughter was smart and believed that she knew what was going on. When he had tried to smother the kids, they were found with bruises all over their faces. Chris said that he had finished what he had started. So I guess, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So he had tried to smother the kids. He thought he had smothered them, but he didn't hold the pillow long enough on their face to smother them. So when the kids, when the children's bodies were found and taken out of the oil tank, they had noticed that there was a lot of damage on their face before they died. Mm-hmm. When they do an autopsy on a body, they can actually tell when an injury happened before someone died and after someone died.
Yeah.
And they realized that it looked like they had tried to, like someone had tried to smother them before they were killed. So he had said that he had tried to smother the kids beforehand and he had thought he had succeeded, but he didn't. He didn't hold the pillow or long enough or whatever he had against their faces long enough to suffocate them. So he had to do it a second time. He says he remembers seeing Bella walk in and her face is just jacked up from his failed attempt to smothering her. So he had tried to smother the kids. They had bruises all over his face. Chris said that he had to finish what he started. So Chris said that he had taken both of the girls, put them in the back of the truck and drove them all to the oil site where he worked to dump Shannon's body. So he buried her body first. He then took each girl one by one, smothered them and dumped their bodies in the oil tank. Autopsy report paints a very grim picture when this happens. So Shannon was, this is where it gets like WTF, all right? Autopsy reports paint a really weird happening. So this is actually kind of normal. Shannon Waltz's unborn son, Nico Lee Waltz, was found just outside the body. In the report, it states that when she was in her second trimester, of pregnancy and that the largely decomposed fetus and placenta unit were found expelled from the uterus. The umbilical cord and the ruptured placenta disc were also found with the body. They are unsure how this happened. He could either, one, have removed the baby from the body, but is mostly unlikely because there was no wounds or cuts to show this, or the baby was expelled from the body after death.
That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's what they're mostly leaning to, because this is more likely what happens when a body dies and you're pregnant. The fetus doesn't die right away either. And sometimes the body will try and expel. So basically, the body was having a natural abortion and a miscarriage. There you go. Her body was having basically a miscarriage and was expelling everything out, and the baby got expelled. That's what they're saying had happened, that it had come out. Chris also would make claims that the baby Shannon was carrying wasn't his. As I stated earlier, Chris had even told Nikki that the baby wasn't his, as she had confronted him about this. He also told Nikki that he didn't know that she was pregnant and could not be his because they had not been sexually active and were sleeping in different rooms. But this was all lies. Mm-hmm. They were sleeping in the same room in the same bed and they were still very sexually active for the most part. I mean, they had fun every so often, but it wasn't as much. Later on August 13th, the same day Shannon was reported missing, Chris had a conversation with the family realtor. Apparently, Shannon and Chris had planned on selling their current house, their $400,000 house, and were planning on getting a bigger one because of their growing family. In the chat, he mentions that Shannon has been missing all day and the police are working on it, but is not showing much concern. It shows in the text messages. So this is how much it shows how much of a two-faced liar he is, right? So this chat he had with the realtor was around noon. So Shannon wasn't reported missing until 1:40 p.m.
Oh, wow.
By her, and it wasn't even by him, it was by her best friend Atkins.
Yeah.
So when the police had come to investigate the house, the officer body camera captured Chris's reaction to all his questions, and he could clearly see he was falling apart, but not in because he was a distressed husband, because he looked like he was hiding and guilty as fuck. So he even invited him to the neighbor's house to view the camera and the surveillance tapes. So when the police came, the neighbor came out of the house and was just like, hey, is everything going on? We're like, well, we have a missing person. You know, Shannon, who's so much 15, 14 weeks pregnant, has gone missing. And he was like, oh, well, I have camera here. We can go and look back on my surveillance and see if, you know, anyone, you know, suspicious appeared or whatever. When this happened, the police officer invited Chris over to be like, let's go view this surveillance together. When this happened, both police officer and Atkins watched as a visibly nervous Chris watched and reacted very negative
negatively.
Very negatively to what was on the surveillance tape. But because, again, there was a tree in the way and his truck was backed up pretty well, you don't see him loading the children or the body, but it was really, even the neighbor said it was really odd and suspicious for him to have backed up his car because he doesn't ever really do that. No one knew how heartless he truly was, all right? So there's more to this. At one point during the interview that was... that is live for everyone to see, might I add. Chris said, Shannon, Bell, and Cece, if you're out there, just come back. If somebody has her, just please bring her back. I need to see everyone. I need to see everyone again. This house is not complete without anyone here. Again, this interview can be viewed. His arms are crossed. He looks defensive. It felt weird and not like a father who was missing his family, more like afraid of being caught. Completely bizarre. His reactions are not that of a grieving father for his 5-year-old and his 3-year-old daughter that are missing and his wife who's pregnant. So... it just looks completely off. Yeah, he's just, honestly, he just screams guilty to the 10th power. Fast forwarding a bit, still 2018, November 6th, Chris Waltz pleads guilty to all counts against him. So instead of wanting to do a like long, prolonged anything, he finally just says, I'm guilty. In pleading guilty to 5 counts of first degree murder, which is the worst out of all the murders, In pleading guilty to 5 counts of first-degree murder, Chris negates his initial story that his wife killed the daughter and assumes responsibility to killing all 3 himself. He pleaded guilty to everything that was thrown against him. He didn't even dispute it. He was just like, whatever you guys have on me, just lay it out. Just lay it out. On November 15th, Nikki speaks out in an interview stating everything he had been portraying was a complete lie. She never wanted to be the other woman. She felt like a victim throughout the whole thing, which honestly, she kind of was. But I mean, personally, I wouldn't date someone who's still married. I would wait until they're officially divorced or at least not living in the same house together. Because I think that's just a little weird in my opinion, but you know. I've never been in this situation and I don't plan to.
Don't take the other person's word for it ever.
Right. Until you, and then especially when the mother, when his wife is posting things on Facebook and she's following her on Facebook. I don't know. It's just, you have to be like really blind in love to not notice these kind of things, in my opinion. Okay, so she felt like her life was ruined with all this mess and has cut off all contact with Chris. On November 19th, 2018, Chris is sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences without the possibility of parole. I do believe he took the deal of a plea bargaining. So this was all a plea deal that he decided to take because they were trying to get the death penalty on him. But it was actually the request of Shannon's family to not do that. They gave him the deal that if he just says he's guilty to everything, they would take the death penalty off the table for him and just have him spend the rest of his life in jail. Because they said, and I quote, they do not want further deaths, which is understandable. Some people view it that way. But so he was given life in jail without the possibility of parole, so he will not be getting out unless somehow he, you know, his lawyers somehow get something out there that he didn't do this when he openly confessed and signed to it. So quite recently, February 2019, Chris sat down with the investigators and finally tells them the whole story of how he killed his wife and his kids. So again, this guy is admitting to it over and over again. So his chances of getting parole or his chances of trying to fight what he, you know, fight for freedom if he wants that, is really going down the drain with the more he talks. So he says he lives every day with guilt. He hears his little girl's voice every day. He said he had no control. He felt as if someone else had taken control over him. He had a gas can in the back of his truck. A gas can was found there. And he felt like he wanted to kill himself at the oil site where he worked, to be with his family. But ultimately, he told investigators, he decided not to go through with this plan because he feared he could hurt more people if something caught fire at the site and exploded.
Oh yeah, because you didn't just kill your wife.
And family. Right? Like, now you're being considerate after just killing 3 innocent children and a mother. And now you feel like you don't want to hurt anyone else? Like, bro, you should have just done yourself the favor and done it. On the drive to the site, Chris stated that his daughters had dozed off and laid in each other's lap. At one moment, he said Bella woke up and kept asking questions and remarks. Daddy, it smells. Daddy, where are we going? When they got to the site, Chris said that he buried her and both the girls had watched the entire time, asking him, what are you doing with mommy? He never responded. He remembered returning to the truck with the kids. He said Cece was first because she was the smallest. He strangled her with a blue Yankees blanket as Bella watched sitting next to her, but nothing and not saying anything. He said he wasn't thinking at the time. Again, it felt like someone else was taking control. He was just watching as all this was happening. After he killed Cece, he said he carried her body over to an oil tank, twisted her body to fit into a small hole, and dropped her inside. When he walked back to the truck, he said Bella, who everyone again claimed was his mini-me, which if you look at the pictures, and I'll show you, that's his daughter. Like, you can really see the family resemblance. Yeah. It's pretty insane. She loved him. She always followed him everywhere. So everyone was just like, that's your mini-me. Chris, when he had walked back to the truck, he said Bella asked him, what happened to Cece? Then in a softer voice, almost in a whisper, he says, is the same thing going to happen to me what you did to Cece? Chris couldn't remember it if he answered. He said he used the same blanket to smother her, then dropped her body in another oil tank. He said her last words were, Daddy, no. Chris claims to hear Bella saying these words every single time he closes his eyes. Chris Waltz is now serving his time at Dodge Correctional Institution, a maximum security prison in Wisconsin, where he spends 23 hours a day in lockdown. He can leave his cell for a shower or exercise, one or the other, but nothing else. He's only allowed a Bible and family photos in his cell, nothing else. This case was portrayed everywhere. Like, you would have at least seen it once. Yeah, it wasn't here in California, but it was everywhere. It had made headlines. So there had been tons of interviews done. HLN aired a special report shown in December 2018 titled Family Massacre, Chris Waltz Exposed, in which police body cam and video recorded police interviews of Chris was released. This is where you find most of the stuff. In the newly released Colorado Bureau of Investigation video records, recorded interviews with Chris's mistress, Nikki. She reveals his behavior changed the day prior to the murder. Dr. Phil also aired an episode. He had Nancy Grace and a former FBI profiler on there. The expert analyzed the his motives and his secret life and profiling Chris Waltz. So they basically said he was a psychopath. He was a sociopath, not a psychopath. He only cared about himself, nobody else, which, you know. So again, this is something more recent. As of on January 26, 2020, a Lifetime released a film called Chris Waltz Confessions of a Killer. I've seen this, I've watched it, and I do recommend it to people to see because it's pretty fucking accurate of what happened.
Yeah.
I do believe you watched it with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely something to watch. But yeah, so I'm going to give you guys some more sugar cubes. Here's two sugar cubes for you because I like sugar. Just these ones are a little bit more annoying because they're not pure sugar. This is the Splenda shit. Stuff that I hate. So
some people like Splenda.
Ugh. Anyways, that's fake sugar. While in jail, Chris Waltz reportedly received love letters from random women while his ex-girlfriend got so many death threats and she had to go into witness protection.
Wow.
Yes. So there was a lot of upset women, like, backlashing on Nikki.
Fuck this guy's wife and children. Bash his ex-girlfriend because she turned him into the police.
Yeah, it's insanely common, unfortunately, for serial killers, rapists, and just child molesters, and everyone of all shapes and size to have secret admirers that just want to marry them and bear their children. It's mind-boggling, but here's a second sugar cube, right? So as of May of this year, I think also I don't know. This was so stupid when I read this. If this is really not happening, but everywhere I read it, and I read this on like four or five different websites, Chris Waltz was considering options in trying to appeal his convictions, stating he wasn't in the right mind when he confessed and believes it was someone else that would have done this. And this was his mind accepting he had done this because the police had brainwashed him. Like the police had, I don't want to say like coerced him. Yeah, he was trying to say that the only reason why he was saying this stuff is because he was being coerced by the police to make himself believe this is what happened. That he believed this because they had just like instilled it on his brain. Yeah. So as of May of this year, I haven't looked since I finished writing this article on the 14th of May of whether he's still trying to pursue it. But as of the 14th of May, 2020, he was actively trying to pursue an appeal saying that this was someone else, he was brainwashed, or like he wasn't in his right of mind, he doesn't understand what happened. So he can get the lesser charge of not first degree murder and possibly second or third, or manslaughter because he was in a heat of passion type of thing. But it's really hard when you admit guilt or when you say that you're guilty and then you try to take it back after you sign a confession. It is almost impossible to get that back. And he shouldn't. This guy needs to spend the rest of his life in jail for what he did. I mean, come on. Like, there's no excuse to it. I mean, look at that. Look at that. That's the kids.
Yeah.
And if you look at a picture of him, which is here on the top, they literally look like twins.
Practically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. Like, I don't know. It's just really weird. Anyways, that is Chris Waltz and the murder of the beloved children and the wife and the unborn son. Welcome back. Right? Always with those heavy hitter ones, you know. I want this podcast. This is Tea Time Horror Story Comeback 2.0. I'm not going to be holding stuff back. We're still going to continue with myth and paranormal stuff as well. But when it comes to my murder and my true crime, I'm not shying away from anything that's gruesome. If you guys have any recommendations, if you guys want me to cover a story in particular, or even if it's a personal one, like someone you know or something, shoot us an email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. You can also get us on Instagram and Twitter, and you can send me a DM and just be like, hey, cover this case. And if I get enough votes on a certain case, yeah, I'll do that case. But We're ready to do this again. I have stories written and I have things lined up. We've been working on this for the past month to finally get this finalized and down, and I'm so happy to be back. And I hope you guys are happy to be back. Like I said, we hope to have Yelly come back and join us again a couple episodes. Hopefully, we'll make things work. We may have special guests. I know my dad is excited to come back as well. Yeah, thank you guys for coming back. Thank you guys for listening to us. Yeah. Thank you, guys. I mean, I'm really happy, and I hope you guys are happy that we're back for this ride. Right, Joe?
Yeah.
Alrighty. You excited. Guys completely so excited.
Like it says on my pop filter.
Stay safe, y'all. Until next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.